Good morning. Mistakes and sin. Seems we have so many opportunities to make mistakes in life. We do things we know we shouldn't, and there's the mistake. When industry tries to expand in other countries, there are plenty of opportunities for mistakes. The National Dairy Association had great success in this country with their advertisement, "Got Milk?" But then they took the slogan to Mexico. And they were informed that the Spanish translation was, "Are you lactating?" When Coca-Cola was introduced in China, their attempts in finding the phonetic equivalent in Chinese resulted in "bite the wax tadpole." Pepsi didn't do well either in China. Their "come alive with the Pepsi generation" translated into "Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the dead." There is still discussion about some of those advertisements and where they really came from. Some of them are more public than others, though. But we're in good company with those mistakes that we make in life. We may try to deny them. We may even call them something other than a mistake. If a driver makes a mistake, it's called an accident. If a teacher makes a mistake, it's called a new theory. If a barber makes a mistake, Jeff, oh, he's not in here. It's called, oh, there he is, way in the back. It's called a new hairstyle. Paul, what happens when a preacher makes a mistake? What do we call it? I think it's called prayer time. Let's pray together, will we? Loving God, your extravagant love has called us together long before we even knew you. You already knew us. And you had chosen us to be a part of your own family, sisters and brothers with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. What amazing love you have shown toward us. And so we come before you with our praise, thanksgiving, our offerings, the worship of our hearts and our lives. And we open up ourselves to you and the prompting of your Holy Spirit. May the time we spend here in your presence bring honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage, we have Paul talking about some forces in life. And one force, Paul says this, "I delight in the law of God." Stop. Even right there. What is the law of God? Certainly, it's not a list of mandates that would gain us eternal life, as if we were capable of measuring up. The law of God is life in abundance. It's hope. God's presence is with us. Truth. The truth is that Christ has made us, each one of us. Grace. No matter what our missteps, God's grace sustains us. And finally, forgiveness. God will grant us forgiveness in all things. So, to continue, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. What is your inner being? It's who you really are in your heart, in your head, in your spirit. That's the inner being. Well, there's another force, Paul says, another law. It's the law of sin, dwelling where? In my members. Well, what are my members? My eyes, my tongue, ears, arms, legs, in my flesh, taking me away from the greater mission to which God has called me. In our lives, we go through most of our days as people who want to please God, don't we? We want to do the mission that God has called us to. But this battle rages on, doesn't it? It is a relationship crushing, righteousness ruining, joy quenching, faith depleting struggle. It is this force that is a splinter in your hand or a piece of glass stuck in your heel. It doesn't make you who you are, but you better watch it because it can begin to break you down. And we need to call it what it is, and that is sin. And we need to call on the great healer, the great physician, the author of grace, to remove it from our members. My Jimisms paraphrase of Paul's description of his struggle is, I don't understand my own actions. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong. I can't help myself. I know that I'm rotten through and through so far as my sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. And then when I do actually get to do what's right sometimes, right in the very next step, I'll do something that's wrong. What a miserable person I am. For many of us, that battle is waged in secret. Nobody else knows the terrible fight that goes on. Many of us try to keep that sinful side of ourselves out of view. It's better that way. We feel unworthy of Christ and sometimes even unworthy to commune with each other, to even step foot in church. Because in our little head, we play rate a sin. Oh, God can never forgive me for that. And so we begin to focus on those things that bring us shame. When we think we need to polish up those rough edges of our lives before we can be of any use to God. And we forget that there is a risen Christ who makes us free from the law of sin. That because Christ is living in us, we're on a progressive journey of freedom from the law of sin. And we don't get to experience that freedom in all of its fullness while we are still here. So you ask the question, progressive? Progressive? Why can't I experience that full victory now? Well, I guess that's why we call it a spiritual journey. Because within our circle of life, our circles of influence, there's the opportunity to demonstrate our faith in God, our forgiveness in Christ. That is the great good news. Those forces that are exerting tremendous pressure on my eyes, my arms, my tongue at times. Those members of the flesh. Now, I'm not implying that you should go and scream from the rooftops every type of dastardly deed, impure thought or action, immoral transgression that you've committed, because frankly, we're not interested. And we don't have that kind of time. But trust me, we are all dealing with iniquities here. But God has a way of making the light of the freedom that you experience in your life shine brightly within you. And when you experience the release from a thing that has held you captive, the world is going to know it by the way you live out your life and by the way you deal with that very next temptation that comes along. So it is the jagged edges of our humanity that God can reach down and grab a hold of us and make things new. And it is through our brokenness that God can demonstrate renewal, hope, grace, forgiveness, and transformation. And it's in these demonstrations that God will show a hurting world the pathway to wholeness and love. God will use you in that demonstration. It is in our shared brokenness that we are connected to God and to each other. 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10 helps us to understand how we might deal with these forces and properly differentiate a mistake from our sin. A mistake is defined as an action or judgment that is misguided, to blunder a choice. A sin is an act considered to be a transgression against a divine law of God and the law of the Spirit. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. The answer is in the confession. We must call sins what they are, and in simple faith, come to God for forgiveness. That's what the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus was all and is all about. Making a way, having a little demonstration, so that the world can see the light of freedom shining out of you and me. And the other important thing to realize is that we can't fix ourselves. Our scripture passage this morning was all about I, me, I can't, I know. We can't fix ourselves. but we come to God and confess, and before long, we can say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ living in me. In my reading this week, I happened upon a piece of writing by Carol Pinner that in many ways describes some of my past, and if I'm honest, my current battles, and how I work through the confession process, because it's not easy to get honest. But I've taken the liberty of changing out some words of hers from you and your to I, me, and my. It's called Savior in a Swampy Land. There's a swamp of secrets here, stretching as far as the eye can see. Secrets crossed over with lies, half submerged. The muck of deception clings close, and there is something rotten in the state of grace. I speak about my life lightly and politely comment about the weather. My eyes tell a different story. I am mired here, bone mired, in mud that will not let me go. I am trapped and alone, and this may be the end. It is no good talking about the wise man who built on a rock. It's no good talking about the disciple who walked on the sea. It is no good talking about a tree planted by living streams of water. What I need is Jesus, like an amphibious tank 1,000 horsepower strong, roaring into view, spinning mud like geysers, clambering across every obstacle against all odds in this bleak landscape. A vehicle of hope. May we submit every corner of our hearts and minds, every rough edge of our lives to God. And when we fail, I didn't say if, I said when we fail, may we have the courage to confess and let God be God, cleansing, forgiving, loving, healing, and setting us back on a journey to tell others the good news. In the words of the Apostle Paul, when he asks the question in our scripture this morning, who will rescue me from this body of death? The answer is right there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Amen.